you're hearing this before listening to the weekly show, are you sure you meant to do that? If not, stop now and go do that first.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Need new lyrics.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
Just doing the corned beef song.
Get away from the corned beef.
Oh, it's very hard for me to do that.
You need to find another meat.
Does it have to be a meat? Could be something else. Let me push a button.
Push the button.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
That one's quieter. It needs to be normalised, I guess. Silly.
You're listening to Extra Large.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse. Let's talk a little bit more about Stephen Fry's Planet Word, Robin. My favourite word thing lately, there's a Australian Aboriginal tribe who, and it's been tracked through, you know, whatever records were able to be found. Their word for dog is dog.
Oh, yeah. Have you mentioned this before?
Oh, maybe a long time ago. Maybe like season one.
Sounds familiar.
If absolutely fascinating, and you can see the progression of the word. They got to dog through an entirely different path than we got to it.
How did we get to it?
I don't know. It's all those short words. Those very short words tend to mean that we've had it for a very long time.
Right.
Generally speaking.
That's true.
Familiar animals. Dog, cat, cow, pig, mum.
Okay, so it's all just come from ug.
Probably. Actually, probably I can find out. What's the word for it?
Etymology?
Yep, dog etymology.
Don't mistake it for entomology. That's a whole different thing. Hey.
Yes.
No, I don't know. It's gone. Oh, I was just going to say breaking news. Totally not by the time you listen to this. Yeah. But breaking news. Apparently TVNZ is reporting that the Rinner is breaking up at the moment.
Oh, no surprise.
And that tugs are rushing to the scene. I'm not sure how tugs rush anywhere, really, but...
And what are they going to do when they get there?
They're going to attach ropes to it and pull it all back together.
Really?
I don't know.
I don't see this one. Is it wearing this news from?
Well, that's the weird thing. Apparently TVNZ just interrupted their programming with a graphic to say this and then went back to normal programming, but it's not on their website.
Not on the website. That's interesting.
It's a bit fail on the new on TVNZ News's part of things, I would have thought.
Nothing on stuff.
There you go. See? The internet is so annoyingly slow compared to Twitter.
I think I might cut all of that France lawyery bullshit out and just put the elevator music in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And just have mine go 4-3. Because that was such a fucking pain in the ass.
But will you leave this bit in the Excel?
Yeah.
So we can explain that what happened was we had a disagreement on the point of view on the story, and it was fun, and it went on for a while.
It wasn't fun. It wasn't entertaining.
No, it wasn't meant to. No, sorry. It spiraled out of control.
Show has been neutered.
It was like visiting some friends, and then they start having a domestic, and you're just sort of stuck awkwardly sitting on the couch going, I can't go anywhere. I kind of need to. This couch is my bed. I'm just going to sit here. Maybe I'll go into the kitchen and make some toast and pretend this isn't happening. And,
yeah. Sorry, Robin. Do you want a ginger nut?
And what do you think, Robin? And then they bring you into the decider.
Well, we didn't do that.
No.
No.
You are lucky.
No.
Yes. I just wanted the interruptions to end.
I was trying to make a point that I thought would
I didn't
help
think it was
clarify.
Important.
Why not, though?
Because the fact was... that they were fined for advancing on the haka.
But that's the entire point.
No, stop. Just stop.
Okay.
Now, the reason they were fined may, according to the rules, have been that they crossed over some imaginary line. But the fact was that they...
It was clearly marked.
They crossed that line because they were advancing on the haka.
Yes.
So the reality was that they were fined for advancing on the haka. Okay?
Right.
Now, the legal reasoning behind it... the rule that was broken wasn't you must not advance on the haka, but the reason they broke that rule, do not go past this line, was they were advancing on the haka. So your distinction had no difference. And that was why I was so frustrated when you kept on making the point.
But my point was that the distinction was only by a couple of inches, which is ridiculous in of itself, which is so they could absolutely have done their advance exactly as it was had they stopped 2 inches sooner.
And I suppose maybe it is worth saying that there is an allowed amount of advance on the haka, but there should be no limit as long as you don't interfere with the people who are doing it.
IRB's all about rules. They arrested Graham Henry's son.
A what?
Did you not hear about that?
No.
Okay, so at the end, I mean, that's a bit silly anyway. He should have been accredited. But basically what happened after the draw and the teams had been awarded their prize, I think, he tried to come onto the field from the stands, Graham Henry's son.
Yeah.
Police and security intercepted him.
Yeah.
Apparently, I think they handcuffed him and took him away. Right. Graham Henry tried to intervene, and they would have none of it and took him away.
Yeah.
I think they did the right thing.
Well, I mean, they did technically, certainly, but you know, it's that same sort of thing. It's silly. It shouldn't have happened because he should have either had accreditation or known better than to do that. But at the same time, it's like, you know, Graham Henry, who you quite clearly know as Graham Henry, is standing there going, "Dude, that's my son." He's just a bit excited, and you can't make exceptions for people, I suppose. But I don't know. So there's that as well. There's lots of rules. It's all very ruley compared to, you know, a normal game of rugby in New Zealand.
All right, so we've just had a criticism from the channel. Night Vision says, no, just sit there and take our tribal war threat dance. This is something I've heard from time to time, Australians and English mainly, clueless people generally, people saying that there's no place for the haka in rugby because it's so threatening. I would say that it was an integral part of world rugby. The All Blacks are the most famous team in the world. They're the team that other teams in the world are most excited to play. And you see comments from players who say that facing up to the haka is one of the most exciting things they've ever done in their lives. You very seldom see any of them criticizing it. Some of them say it's a bit scary. But the reality is that there actually is an expectation and there is room for a response. A response is wanted.
Which is why I think Morris dancing from the English team would be fantastic.
Yeah. I think that they can come up with something that actually works better. I mean, they could do that. But
I don't know. Morris dancing would be highly scary. It would be scarier than that haka.
I might run away from people waving bells and hankies at me.
Yeah.
Definitely hankies.
Isn't there a version with sticks? I think there's a version with sticks where they like kick the stick. Oh, that might be. Is that English?
I guess the problem is that for a lot of teams, they don't really have a cultural. The Samoans do. Although their haka is, or their response is basically another sort of haka. Well, it is a haka with a different, in a different language.
Yeah.
I guess the problem for a lot of teams is they don't have a relevant cultural response.
And because they've destroyed their native culture.
Well, there is a lot of that,
Their native people.
I'd be very surprised to see the Australian team doing any sort of Aboriginal anything.
Yeah.
I don't suppose there's an Aboriginal version of the national anthem.
Sadly, no.
No.
I think they sang like Waltzing Matilda once.
That's fine. I think any response that actually faces up to it, any response is fine, really. But the people who turn their back tend to be the ones who get an absolute thrashing. Facing up to it in whatever way you want to, I think is absolutely wonderful. I think it's strongly desirable for people to do whatever it is that they feel appropriate. But trying to kill the haka is not the appropriate response.
Now I thought it was a bit. It was I watched the final of the rugby. It was the only Rugby World Cup game I watched, and the only rugby I've watched, and I don't even know how long.
I was very pleased to see that you'd made that effort.
Yeah, well, whatever.
It was very difficult for you sitting on the sofa and turning the TV over to a different channel, I'm sure.
And snarking, snarking at the commentators. Oh my God! Yes, Grant Fox. That's interesting, isn't it, Grant Fox? Yes, we get it. You're talking to Grant Fox. But it was interesting to see the French response and that weird little flying V thing they did. It was quite strange that they were holding hands to start with. That seemed a little bit unusual.
It's not. It's common. Well, the hand holding maybe, but arms over shoulders.
No, that was fine. Arms over shoulders, totally. But the holding hands initially was a bit. I was like, that's a bit.
Did it make
different.
You question your sexuality?
It's a bit effete, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, well, we joked, of course, that perhaps the French response should be turning around, running away, and waving a white flag.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha.
Not funny,
which they
Dylan.
Did not do. Yes, it is.
Miming eating cheese and walking like monkeys. So
French
we've had a comment.
Scares in one forward gear. Ha ha ha.
We've had a comment, Dylan. Night Vision in the chat room says your tweets, Dylan, were high value.
Were they
during the rugby? I wouldn't necessarily agree.
No, neither would I. I'm surprised anyone saw them. To be honest,
I seem to recall you saying it wasn't the most interesting thing you'd ever seen. something like that. I think that was one of your last tweets.
No, what did I say? It wasn't. I don't think it was the most interesting game of rugby I've seen. I also thought that watching the French team was more interesting, or that the French team were more impressive, I guess, than the All Blacks. I guess probably because I had higher expectations of the All Blacks, I suppose. Yeah.
God, it was such a good game. I love a close game.
Yeah, no, totally.
I love a close game.
They've been leading by 20 at the at halftime. It would have been like that, whatever.
If Wepu had got that other 8 points, I think it would have been much less interesting. Knowing that any penalty, any field goal, anything, any little try would have put them out of reach at any point of that last 5 minutes. It was wonderful. God, it was good.
Being an impartial observer of rugby and people's opinions on rugby, what strikes me is how incredibly fickle people are.
Yeah.
So, what was it? What's his name? Perry Whippu wasn't doing as well as people expected him to, so suddenly everyone hated him.
Nah, he had an injury.
Yeah, well, apparently someone pulled his groin. And then... was it Steve?
Someone pulled his groin.
I misspoke.
That'll be in a tabloid soon.
Can I tell you, for years, I thought groin injury was a euphemism for being kicked in the balls.
Well, being kicked in the balls is a groin injury.
But that's not when they talk about a groin injury. That's not what they mean.
Not usually, no. So there's that. But then, what happened next? Cruden injured himself and he went off and everyone was like, oh my God, it's the end of the world. And they brought Stephen Donald on, who everyone was like, oh, he's shit, it's all over. And then he kicked what arguably was the winning goal.
He's the white
There's
batter,
no argument.
He?
There's no argument at all.
I mean, it scored the winning points. It made the difference.
Yeah.
And suddenly he's the hero. It's like, fuck. In one game, they've gone from... And then it was that whole thing, you know, when Dan Carter injured himself. They're like, oh, it's all doomed. It's all over. It's like, fucking hell. It's a team of, 15 people on the field at a given time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A team of 15 people on the field. 30 altogether. And people are so willing to write off the entire team based on the availability or performance of one player.
Well, to be fair, Dan Carter is the best player in the world.
Okay, but clearly,
and any team that has the best player in the world probably enjoys having him on the field as much as possible.
Yeah.
We went down to our fourth choice for that position, which is pretty frightening. France placed someone who has never played in a test before. His debut was in the final. That's how shallow they were in terms of the depth of their backup players. Our fourth player, he was actually on the outer. I don't think because he's shit. He was on the outer because he's taken a high-paying rugby job in England. So I think that's why people were a bit crook on him, which is stink of them. I think that these rugby players, they have a short career. They should get all the money that they can out of it.
Yeah.
The Cruden story is absolutely, it's like an American TV movie story, because the dude was sitting at home a couple of weeks ago. Suddenly he's called up to join the World Cup. And now, unfortunately, tragedy, he's out with an injury. The Wepu story was pretty amazing as well. I mean, he was dumped.
Well, he went from like no one believing in him to being on T-shirts.
Yeah.
And memes. Tumblr memes.
He was dumped from the team before the 2007 World Cup without much in the way of explanation. Unexpectedly dumped. I think the reason it's clear that he was dumped is he's unreliable. He's all over the place. Just like old Quade Cooper, when he plays well, is amazing. When he doesn't play so well, just, you know, it's not so sure hot. But the thing about Whippu is that he doesn't only kick. If you were watching the game before he went off, he was absolutely instrumental. He was all over the field. He was a hard worker. But unfortunately, he failed getting those other 8 points with his foot. It's tough.
Right.
I believe the excuse that he had an injury immediately before the game. I believe that. And probably, if he wasn't already the second or third choice, he wouldn't have been fielded first. He would have been on the bench. But because there were so many injuries the format of the game, the All Blacks played seven games against international teams, the best teams that other countries could field, some of whom were just excited to be playing, but threw their bodies at it because they knew that they were about to be out of the tournament. It's a war of attrition for the minor teams, let's not call them minnows because it's not fair. Better not call our team whales either because Japan is in the tournament. Oh dear.
Oh, funny. And so is Wales.
Oh, no. Watch out. I love the Japanese team. Even against the All Blacks, I support Japan.
They're battlers.
They are battlers. They are delightful to watch. Big dudes as well.
So I just remembered my favorite commentator line. So the first, the All Black try, Tony Woodcock.
Yeah.
One of the commentators on Sky Sports said, he said, oh, Woodcock loves scoring tries. I was like, of course he fucking does.
Don't they all?
Isn't that the point? God, anyway. And then the other thing was like, at some point, one of the people I follow on Twitter was rooting for France. I'm not sure whether they really wanted France to win. Le bleu, they were just being contrary. But yeah. They got an angry response from someone, which they retweeted, that said, just shut the fuck up.
Oh, God.
I replied to both of them saying, well, chill out, it's just a game. And then that person replied to me saying, fuck you, it's not, or shut the fuck up, it's not just a game. If New Zealand lose, it will completely change the economy. I was just like, oh, right. Okay.
It's probably not true.
I was like, maybe, but it's still just a fucking game.
Yeah, it's definitely okay, just a game.
Okay, I'm getting bored, so I'm going to go to bed now.
Don't you? Well, why did you come and join the sports podcast then?
Sorry, I was mistaken.
Did you think it was a comedy podcast or
it's a sports or a technical podcast.
Tech podcast?
It's an automotive podcast.
I thought it was a tech podcast.
All right, Robin.
I thought it was a comedy.
All right, Robin.
Okay.
Thank you very much for joining us once again. It has been
a legal podcast.
It's been lots of fun.
Bye-bye.
You guys had to kiss and make up with tongues.
I thought we already did. All right.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Didn't want it to take too long leaving the room because, you know, grinds the whole show to a halt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. All right, what were we talking about?
Sport. I was snipping his E just there, by the way, when I went,
mm-hmm. Like that. Have we got anything else that we want to throw in?
I got more reports from Twitter.
All right, tell me about the reports from Twitter.
Apparently, the only confirmation we have on this Rena breaking up thing, this will be interesting because by the time you hear this, you'll know whatever the fuck has happened. But the only confirmation we have from the Rena breaking up thing is that TVNZ News basically interrupted programming and put up a graphic that said that.
Yeah.
They haven't tweeted, TVNZ News haven't tweeted anything about it. It's still not on their website. It's not on any other websites. So maybe they fucked up?
Maybe they ran a thing that they've prepared in advance? It seems like a strange
thing. Maybe they were just
thing.
Testing the ability to break in and put a news story up? I don't know. Very weird.
Man.
I'm watching TV One. I don't know what happened. But, you know, apparently people I follow on Twitter are.
Oh, there is a thing opening up. There's a thing. I saw this. This was tweeted by, what's his name on Twitter?
Oh, that guy.
Oh, yeah, I follow him.
He's really got some good tweets.
His name's Richard Ram. I think his Twitter name might be Richard Ram as well.
He used to be Robin's boss.
Right, probably. He's been a lot of people's boss, never been my boss. Good guy to talk to at a bar, though. That's as far as I know him. He tweeted about seeing a new restaurant opening on K Road called L&L Hawaiian Barbecue. And this is a place which has got a bunch of outlets in the States and Japan, various other places. American Samoa.
You had me at barbecue. Tell me more.
Well, go to HawaiianBarbecue.com. Look at the menu.
I'm not sure why I'm not there already.
I don't know why you're not there already. They already have an outlet, I think, somewhere in South Auckland. But they're opening one on K Road. And they've got dishes like the Loco Moco, which is L&L Hawaiian barbecue hamburger patties on rice with brown gravy and eggs, served island style. They also have Kalua pork, which is smoke-flavored succulent shredded pork, slowly roasted to a flavorful finish mixed with cabbage. Mm-hmm. And they also have something that they call musubi, which is like nigiri, if you're familiar with that. So it's rice with a topping wrapped in nori seaweed. The topping in this case being spam.
Naturally, because it's Hawaii.
Naturally. They also have the Hawaiian plate, lau lau and kalua pork, which is a pork chunk wrapped with a taro leaf steamed to perfection and served with savory, smoky-flavored kalua pork.
I'm looking at the menu. It's so not what you come... I mean, I don't know how good it is. I don't know if it's any good for you, but it's so not what you expect from
a chain
sort of fast food place. Yeah.
So where did you say this was?
Okay, Road, somewhere I understand.
Because if you go to locations on the website, it says Great South Road in Otahoo.
Yeah, as I said, they've already got an outlet in South Auckland.
Right.
Yeah.
Handy things to know, they have outlets in Japan, Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, Colorado, Texas, New York, Alaska, Hawaii, New Zealand, and American Samoa. And apparently there's a franchise opportunities in Guam.
And if you look at their Facebook page, you will see people absolutely gagging isn't really the right word because that implies people choking or whatever. People excited, begging for them to open up a branch in, you know, North Carolina or Austin or wherever, saying, I am jonesing for a Loco Moco fix. So hopefully that means there's something really special about this, because it would be lovely to have another option for, you know, fast food, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be great if we would start serving kind of what I think of as real barbecue, this American-style slow-cooked pork,
yeah,
which is not what we call barbecue.
So Melanie's my wife, if you don't know me or I haven't mentioned her by name before.
Oh, was that your wedding?
At Melanie Bailey. Barbecue chicken in the slow cooker the other day. She made a basic barbecue sauce. It's like your bit of tomato sauce or ketchup, some packet barbecue sauce, some spices of some sort, some brown sugar, some water, I don't know, whatever went into it. And then put these chicken nibbles you can buy, you know, just small chunks of chicken in there. Barbecue, slow cooked it for hours and then thickened up the sauce a little bit. Oh my God, it was really nice, like delicious flavor and so succulent. So I can totally imagine that working really well with pork.
The long cooking, the way the connective tissue breaks down at the right temperature so that it doesn't dry or burn, something magical happens to transform really all meats, but I think particularly pork does just something very special where you really can just pull it apart and I just wish we had a... Maybe there is somewhere. Maybe there is... Because it's not like it's hard to get a smoker. It's not impossible. They tend to be things that have been developed over generations and families that take barbecue really seriously. It's entirely unlike what we think of as barbecue in New Zealand, which is kind of just grilling, burning stuff quickly. The way I barbecue seems to frustrate people, though. This is about to become a food podcast. Because I like to cook...
Better than a sports podcast.
At a reasonably low temperature, and so for quite a long time, mm-hmm. relatively speaking. But even so, nothing like what real barbecue is. Because, I mean, they cook for like 10 or 12 hours or more after marinating for a day.
Have you ever seen any of the shows? There's TV shows about it. They have these barbecue championships.
And I have. I have. And that's and I fell in love with just the picture of it. I've never been to the States, so I've never tried that kind of barbecue. But I have had really good slow-cooked pork, and so I can imagine what it's like. I look forward to it. I long to have it locally. Because
You know, when you have children, you start to suddenly, like, because, you know, it changes what you can do with your life. So when I had children, it suddenly became apparent that I couldn't really travel anymore, which is something I'd sort of wanted to do.
Yeah.
Or at least not for a while.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me that, you know, the thing that I thought I was missing out on, and this is ridiculous, but I still continue to think about it to this day, is traveling to countries and eating their food. And that, like...
No, I agree.
It's going to South America and eating street food. It's going to the States and eating barbecue and you know, other things.
It's not silly. I completely agree.
And I can totally imagine doing that as you know, doing a world trip and eating food in places.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's make a show.
Street food.
Let's make a show. Let's find out if we are really charismatic and approachable on camera while we eat food.
I think that's almost certain. I can't think that we wouldn't be.
Chop, chop, chop. Chewing into a camera. You've got to... Yeah, you cock. You fucking cock. Why don't you shut the fuck up and eat your fucking hamburger?
I'll stab you with this fucking rib.
It's not how you put the sauce on, you pedant. That kind of thing.
Oh, that'd be some good telly.
Yeah, God, wouldn't it? Oh, people who hate each other but love food and force themselves to eat together.
More so breaking, by the way, breaking RENA news.
Yeah.
Apparently it's not broken up, according to a Maritime NZ media spokesman. So TVNZ must have just fucked that up.
What are they up to?
Although, I did see before, according to some Twitter account that I did follow or then didn't follow, Rena Global PR.
Yeah.
They tweeted something along the lines of, oh, fuck. But I presume they're probably just based on whatever was going on Twitter.
Was that before or after the TVNZ thing? Because is it possible that TVNZ saw that tweet and... and the tail was wagging the dog?
That'd be pretty amusing. I don't think so.
That would be perfect, actually.
I'd love to see, yeah, Twitter become...
So there's a toot about the IRC asking if it's possible to connect the IRC using a client. Really, it's possible, but I would prefer not to.
I totally answered that already and gave him the server details. He's in the chat room right now.
Fine.
So if you saw my tweet with the server details on it, good luck for you. I'm not going to tell you again. Ha 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 ha.
I mean, because you know, we don't use it throughout the week. Frankly, if I came in there and someone else already had ops, probably I'd do away with the whole thing.
Yeah, so don't do that.
Although
I'll probably just leave my IRC client running for a week again until Windows updates and reboots my computer.
Night Vision says, now I'm hungry for swine in the chat room. Agreed. Pork is one of those things. Good Lord, pork is good. One of the reasons that I wasn't able to maintain the kind of the consistent full-time vegetarianism.
Have you fallen off the wagon?
No.
He was a weekday vegetarian the last time we discussed this?
I am a weekday vegetarian.
There you go.
It's a different wagon. There was no falling. I chose to get off one wagon and onto a different one. I have the
a
domain...
Wagon, a wagon that takes rest stops on the weekend.
Exactly. And I have a domain name to prove it.
Sounds like our public transport.
Wow, actually, funny you should mention public transport. Walking on Queen Street after the Rugby World Cup final and walking past the buses that were set up to take people out of the city after the game finished was heartening. Because they had so many buses stacked up. They were on Key Street, which I guess is, at that point, it was 4, 5, or 6 lanes. And they were taking up all the lanes, both directions, but all the buses were facing the same way.
Wow.
And stacked deep with all sorts of chartered and Auckland City buses, mainly charter buses. They had lots of signage, lots of people telling people where to go. They had them all stacked up, leaving fairly regularly, being replaced from behind. And as we walked home, the penthouses close to the city, I saw, even though at this point it was about 12:30 at night, and the time that it took just to walk past the nearest train line, I saw at least 3 or 4 trains fly through, big ones. They were really, Auckland Transport, were really trying to do a... To make up for some of their shortcomings.
And yet...
By putting on a really good service. It looked like they were trying really hard.
I heard a story that an ex-prime minister actually walked home from the game.
An ex-prime minister?
Yes.
Not David Longy.
No. Miss Helen. Mr. Helen.
Walked home. Well, if she still lives in the same house she used to live in, it's like it's a 2-minute walk.
But still.
Was that a sexual identity joke? Are you joking that she maybe is some kind of lesbian? Because that shit is tired.
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
If you're going to say it, you're going to have to back it up.
She just looks like a man.
Because I've met her husband.
You know, I was in one of those supermarkets where people from TV often shop. It was either Victoria Park, New World, or Graylin Countdown.
Yeah.
And I heard a voice behind me, and I'm like, is that Helen Clark? And I turned around, no, it was John Campbell.
See, Mark, there is a way to make that joke, and then there is a way to not make that joke.
It's not even a joke. It actually happened.
Well, for my part, I saw John Key at the supermarket with his son wearing tiny little shorts looking at cabbages.
There you go.
So there you go. Because he lives in my hood.
Now, so here's the thing. Apparently the next day...
he's the representative for Helensville. He lives in Parnell.
The transport was not so good.
Oh, yeah?
Trying to get to the Victory Parade. As far as I saw, because I tried to go to Devonport.
Yeah.
There were cars parked everywhere in Devonport, and the ferry terminal was like people bustling out onto the street.
Yeah.
This was at about 1 o'clock, I guess.
Yeah.
1:30.
Yeah.
Left Devonport. I went to find another playground, but on the way decided I'd go and see what Bayswater was looking like, the Bayswater Wharf.
Yeah.
There were about probably about 15, 20 people milling around there.
Yeah.
I phoned Max, because I was with the kids. I thought maybe we'd go and see the finals parade, although I thought we probably wouldn't because
too many people.
Would be insane. Mm-hmm. Yep. But I checked it out anyway. I phoned the transport people and said, are there any ferries running from from Bayswater? And they said, oh, just one at 5:30.
Crikey. Wow, yeah. They really didn't have their shit together. But
And apparently all the buses were running on the Sunday timetable, although eventually they did put on some extra ones, apparently. But right. So the theory that apparently... Len Brown claims to have organized the victory parade in 12 hours, which I thought, you know, I had thought when I first heard that, I thought that's retarded. Of course they had something organized, just like the fireworks. They had something organized ahead of time, ready to just push the button, like we did with the TV program I work on, ready to just push the button when the All Blacks win or not if they don't.
Yeah.
But perhaps they didn't. Perhaps they actually did think, well, we should probably have a victory parade. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow.
The floats were utes with hay bales in the back.
The floats are always utes with hay bales in the back, even when we have time to organise. Do you remember the America's Cup victory parade? Floats with hay bales in the back.
I do. I remember watching that from the most wonderful position between buildings I didn't even know how you'd describe it as an architectural object. Next to the Finance Plaza, if you illegally went through the fire escape doors and down the fire stairs, there was a brief moment when the stairs went outside the building. And if you jumped over the railing and sneaked along kind of a gutter, you would end up with this wonderful position over the top of Queen Street, a good 5 or 6 stories up, with, of course, no handrail because no one was meant to be there. And it was a great spot to watch proceedings from. And I watched the America's Cup parade from there, and it was really good. I don't remember hay bales. Probably I was so excited about being where I was.
Hay bales. It was definitely just basically utes, though.
Yeah.
I watched it from the roof of, not far from there, actually, from the roof of the CML building, which my father was working on at the time.
Right.
As a construction project.
Right.
Okay.
I like a good parade, but I guess I was tempted to go down to the rugby one, but not tempted enough to do it.
There were so many people. Good Lord.
I looked at someone on Twitter put up a live stream, a Ustream from their office window. And I don't remember what time they started, at 12 or 1. And I think the thing was starting at 2:30.
They said 2:30. I don't think it started till 3.
And there were already a whole lot of people at the barricades. And I just thought, if there's that many people there now, there are going to be so many people there soon that... You know, it'll be the excitement of being in amongst it, but it'll also be just absolutely packed. And that's not always fun, you know, dealing with giant crowds. Just want to get there, get out. Yeah, this thing about buses into the city, I hadn't actually heard about the failure of getting people to the parade. I'm not really surprised that they didn't find it easy. I'm a bit surprised that no one thought to tell them to turn on more buses. It's expensive, though, to add more buses.
Oh, we now have confirmation. The RENA notification on the TV One was a mistake.
Oh, you dicks.
Yes.
A mistake.
Oh. A mistake. Greg Boyd, who is a newsreader for TVNZ, says the RENA has not, I repeat, not split. A ticker message that was wrong was on TV One. It is not from the newsroom. Don't panic. Mr. Manwaring, it says, making a reference to a old British TV show that I can't remember the name of.
I don't have what my Dad's Army.
Dad's Army, there you go.
Don't panic! Don't panic! Don't panic! Don't panic! Don't panic! Corn beef. There you go. Ahem.
Peas on the top.
And mustard on the side. Do you know who wants to come up with some new lyrics? I'll come up with a different beat.
No, thanks.
You sure?
Do we need some samples to go with it?
Is this for now or for next week?
I don't see why not for now.
I just don't feel like singing.
Well, don't sing. Rap.
Yeah. Stop. Collaborate and listen.
Give us some of your rhyming skill.
I got a new cell phone.
Another one.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a nice Android phone?
Of course it is. It's a Samsung Galaxy S2.
Oh, so it's not the new one.
What? No, it's not the Nexus, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't have ice cream sandwich.
You've got corned beef, though.
Oh my god, I would totally run Android corned beef. Hey, we can sing about ice cream sandwiches.
Alright.
But there's not really any lyrics beyond ice cream sandwich.
With ice on the
what
side?
What does this sound like?
Sounds like John Fresh.
Yeah,
what does this
John
sound
Fresh.
Like?
Just what, like
ice
John
cream!
Fresh.
Yes, great, we all scream! That sounds a bit like John Fresh as well.
What is this?
Did you know that you need 16 gigabytes of RAM just to compile ice cream sandwich?
Yeah, I recommend it.
What does this sound like? Sounds alright.
Sounds like you.
It sounds a little bit like me, but this is what it sounds like when I turn it off, so it doesn't really sound like me, does it? Does it still sound like me, do you think?
Yeah, totally.
What does this sound like? Oh, that just sounds like it's phasing. Peanut butter, peanut butter, peanut butter and a mushroom chop. I don't know what that means.
Mushroom chop?
I don't know what a mushroom chop is.
Taste of New Zealand.
Chicka chick chick.
Bass on this bitch, motherfuckers. Chicka chick.
Isn't it wonderful that listening to the Discourse XL podcast, you can hear creativity just happening? Just happening.
How about stop that? Turn that up a little bit. And A minor.
Oh, it sounds a bit like the... Reminds me of the Fraggle Rock theme.
That might be a little bit... Let's try something
a little bit. What are you making this with?
Awesomeness, motherfucker!
Let's see.
He just opens his mouth and it comes out.
Given it's your idea.
Ice cream sandwich. Sounds so
ice
delicious.
Cream sandwich.
Hand claps.
Ice cream.
Go to the dairy.
coat, you've got a spot on your nose.
Sucks to
ice cream, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream sandwich! Yay! Thank you, Daddy!
Ice cream sandwich from Satan.
What's Satan? Ice cream sandwich for you.
Christ almighty, that got evil at the end. That was fucking awesome.
We've had feedback from the chat room.
Yeah.
I think Discourse needs a little less music and sound effects and a little more discourse, like season one.
Where's that?
However, he then goes on to say... that's Jack Osborne. He then goes on to say, but this tune is pretty good. Bring back Satan. And Satan was indeed brought back.
Yeah, I saw him say, bring back Satan, and that's why I cranked old Mark up to...
Yes, and Satan was brought back by the Christian.
Yeah, I brought him. I put him in full on.
Well, quite clearly, only Christians can bring Satan.
Yes, I summon thee.
Yeah.
And then I can banish thee.
Actually, tell you what, Mark, I saw... I'll bring this up on the podcast. Let's make it awkward. I saw your photos on Facebook.
Facebook.
From your church. From your church.
Yes. Yes.
Does it not seem at all weird to you that... I find the whole...
The commercialness of the lighting rig, the big...
The On Fire for Christ rock music, multi-screen, huge... auditorium, light, robo light show, just that whole thing. Just
That was the first time that I've actually been to that building, and I was quite shocked at how actual big it was.
Does it feel? It feels very. I mean, it's such an American concept that it's the whole Pentecostal.
Part of it, I can see when you've got 4,500 people in one room, you do need a decent lighting and sound rig to actually get the sound out there.
But why do you need rock music?
Why not? Musicians want to make music.
I guess I find the whole thing a bit unusual. But then, I don't know. I'm an atheist. I'm not militantly atheist like some people I know who are
like me.
Yeah, anti-religious. Although I find people's individual religion is fine. What I find unusual is
group religion.
Religion, organized religion is the usual term. I find that is where it all gets a bit weird. Mind you, the entire of Christianity is organized religion. It's based on a book, which is clearly organized.
I don't know. Looking at some churches, it's very highly disorganized.
Well, maybe that's... I guess, you know, if I went to a church and it was all just a bit, a bit confused and a bit... off the cuff, but winging it, I'd probably be more into it. Probably more into it than I find the whole really polished production of religion seems quite unusual to me.
So we didn't put you into the TV production suite that we also apparently have.
Yeah, of course you do, because you need it for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So the industry I work in, the software I work with, Avid, right? Used in high-end film and television production, and they also have product specialists who deal solely in the States, mainly with church productions, because there are lots of church productions that do this, and they have the Avid also makes a lot of sound, including live sound equipment and stuff. So they, you know, they've got that, it's big, but it just it strikes me as so unusual.
There's big money in it.
Yeah, well, there is, and that's possibly, you know, you see something like that, and I think that's millions of dollars worth of, you know, sort of, I don't know what sort of cameras are there, but I'm guessing it's probably not a handy cam.
Well, no, I was quite shocked that they had a whole crane with a camera on a crane that they were spinning around.
Yeah, totally. So a jib that you're talking about there, that's, yeah, you know, that's a good...
Whether it was hired or not, I have no idea.
Nah, it wouldn't be hired. They would have bought it. No point. They'd
quite possibly.
It. It's just, the whole thing's just so unusual. I don't know about unusual, but it is an unusual way to relate to God in my mind.
The happy clappy rock stuff is odd. It's odd.
My church is different. We've got rock music.
No, that's the same.
Yeah. I don't know.
I've heard some people say that they really like that and it makes them relate. But then I've heard some people come back into the church and go, well, actually, that reminds me of the pub. That's not what I was after.
Yeah,
I guess that's it. There's a point at which it seems to me that church is no longer about
praising Jeebus.
Yeah, I don't know. Just the whole stadium rock show aspect of the church just seems very peculiar to me.
Yeah,
that was much more of a production because it was an album launch as well, though.
So, I see. Yes. Yes. So how do you feel as a...
How do I feel?
As a relatively rational Christian person I know.
Rational?
About, well, relatively. Oh, tumbleweeds. Relatively... So, you know, there's where your church is at, and then
tumbleweed.
There's where...
Tumbleweed? No, if I see people talking about tumbleweeds, I am tempted to bust out a new tune.
But there's where your church is at, and then there's where Brian Tamaki's church is at.
The leader of the cult, sorry, the largest cult in New Zealand, you mean?
Yeah, but where's his different to yours?
Good question. From what I understand, he kind of more preaches that he is the way, the truth, and he is the only one you can get the information from. You don't go to God, you go to Brian. Which is kind of different to a lot of
That's
churches.
Not true at all, though, is it? It's all about God. The people are there because of his personality.
I think he has been taken out of context a lot.
Yeah. I think that the difference between his church and yours is probably less than it's probably less than you'd like to believe.
Yeah.
That little break for you.
Good. Something else? Anything else?
Yeah, heaps of other things. We could talk more about that, but I don't want Mark to feel like he's being...
Fine. We'll stop now.
You know, whatever.
I don't intend to use Mark as a some sort of spokesman for...
I would, very briefly, I would like to talk change of right turn, right angle, parallel.
A pivot.
Pivot.
Are you going to turn it into a politics podcast?
No, I'm not. I'm just going to talk about our amazing city, Auckland. We've really polished the place up for this little festival that we heard for the last 7 weeks. And I think that the city seems to have, feels like it has taken a big step into being more like what it can be. And I think it's exciting to have had a bunch of pedestrianisation happen, a certain amount of improvements to public transport, some new public buildings, public spaces that I don't know if we're going to be able to keep them all because the Rugby World Cup seemed to be a real point of focus for a lot of people who usually might have argued and dithered for years on end. And, you know, possibly we're going to lose, you know, some of the amazing things that we've built.
No longer do we get the rallying cry of ... in time for the World Cup.
Exactly. And that has...
In time for the election.
Yeah, nah.
I don't think there's going to be anything done between now and the election, except maybe dismantling stuff. I was surprised that they turned Queen's Wharf off so quickly. It's shut.
Stupid.
There's nothing there now. I mean, the cloud is still there. The building's there. But the gates are closed.
Yeah,
I'm not clear on why. I'm not clear on why. Why not just run bars in there just for a little while? See what happens. See if it is naturally still, you know, a focal point for, you know, people to go and have a bit of fun there and then, you know, go and find their way to the rest of their evening.
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing. Have you been to Wynyard Quarter?
I absolutely have. I was there on the opening day and I thought it was really wonderful seeing all the kids there, all the families, seeing people with access to the waterfront in the central city. I mean, obviously around Auckland it's possible to get to the water. I mean, you know, obviously, you only don't even have to go as far as Mission Bay. But our central city is isolated from the harbour. That
by
kind of is the defining...
And some container.
Exactly. The defining characteristic of Auckland is that we're in the middle of this friggin'... I mean, we're on an isthmus between two big harbours. And for the access to the water at the central city really to be non-existent, outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. So for there to be access down to at least paddle at Wynyard Quarter, it's a change that was a long time coming. And now they're talking about, the plans are, that they're going to replace a lot of that public space with commercial buildings.
Well, and apparently not now the plans are, but the plans always were.
Yep.
So what you go down there soon, you see that the big wind sculpture, which I forget the name of, but it's something like the
wind
sculpture.
Wind farm, I think.
Yeah, something like that. And you see the children's playground and you see the open green space and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That all of that's going to be buildings.
Yeah. Isn't it outrageous? There's a whole lot of other places to put nice new buildings.
And it's, I mean, you know, I was totally down with the fact they're going to build lots of buildings around there. That's fine. Okay, yeah. I get that. But it's just disappointing that, you know, what we've been presented as, look at this wonderful new space. And everyone loves it. And you go down there any time of the, you know, I've been down there at 10 o'clock on a Monday morning and seen, you know, lots of people having a wander around and enjoying the space.
Yeah.
And that's all going to go away. And it feels like a bait and switch.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Like, but they got Auckland behind this thing, and we went down there and we went, this is wonderful. And then it's just going to be 5-6-story high office buildings.
Yeah.
Sorry, mixed
they,
purpose
They put
buildings.
Some lipstick on the city and they said, here, have a nice goodnight kiss from your mum. And it turned out to be a pox-ridden whore.
Yeah, no, so that's disappointing.
Just like everywhere like else in the city. Horse. Didn't want the pox. Wanted access to a waterfront. Wanted access to a public space. Wanted something a little bit more like what they have in Wellington.
We should maybe, I don't know, maybe we could try and talk to the person I found this out from, and I imagine you probably did too, is Joel Cayford, former, is he, I don't think he's still an Auckland councillor, but former Auckland councillor.
Yeah.
Maybe we should try and talk to him on the show sometime and find out more about this and whether there is any remote hope that we, this is the thing that the whole, this is what the Occupy protest comes down to, I think, that whether there's a hope that we as a people, as the, you know, constituents of this area being Auckland or larger area being New Zealand, actually have a fucking say in any of this.
Yeah.
Whether there's any way our voice can be heard. Because it tends to feel like there isn't. And people get really despondent about politics and say things like, you know, when you talk to people about voting, they say it doesn't fucking, you know, it just encourages them, they say, is the cynical approach. And, you know, I hate to believe that, but then sometimes it seems like they do. The other thing that we found out about in the last couple of days is more about the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, TPPA, which now appears to contain significant portions devoted to changing the way, for example, well, specifically in our case, Pharmac, relates to drug companies and is able to secure beneficial pricing for our people.
Which is the cornerstone of our healthcare system.
Exactly, and that the US drug companies are essentially buying legislation in our country
that is through
a backdoor passage
that we're not allowed to know about.
That we're not allowed to know about.
It's not released publicly. A lot of that was released thanks to WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
Outrageous! Absolutely outrageous! These people are acting in our names. They're not acting in our interests. Well, I think the first thing we can do is let them know that we know. The second thing we can do is vote. The most important thing we could do is have a functional media, a functional press. We do not have that in New Zealand.
What I was most surprised to see about that story, the Pharmac drug story part of TPPA, is that, in fact, that story was, whether it was picked up, I don't know, but it was reported in Stuff newspapers and in the Herald.
Yeah.
So that was quite surprising. You know, the links I saw to it were to stuff.co.nz and to nzherald.co.nz, not to, you know... omgtppa.blogspot.com or something.
Yeah.
Which is an improvement. I guess, you know, when it appears that a foreign trade agreement like that is fucking with what we hold dear, i.e. our health system, as perhaps not perfect as it may be, it is remarkably functional and we tend to believe quite a lot better than the US one. When it seems like that's being fucked with, I guess that becomes news, although, you know, nothing really competes with rugby, so not proper news.
I don't know. We've got a few weeks before the election, so you know, hopefully a few of these issues will actually come to the fore a bit more.
They will, but does it matter? Because then I think, you know, like, I think that the parties that I trust to actually make a difference in this sort of thing are really basically the Green Party and maybe some of the other slightly smaller parties. Like, you know, as much as I disagree with the politics of ACT, I can see that as, you know, a slightly more libertarian party, they might have a better say, probably not in this case, but in some other cases, they might, you know, be a little more reasonable about things.
Yeah.
But, you know, realistically, we're going to get probably a national government, maybe a Labour government, probably not.
Probably not.
With a coalition partner or two, probably. But, you know, I don't trust, to be honest, I don't trust Labour any more than I trust National to not kowtow to this sort of shit.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, and that's, you know, that's the fundamental problem with politics, is that the two big players are the two big players.
Yeah.
At least in New Zealand, we have some smaller players who have a chance. In many other places, supposedly the greatest democracy in the world, they don't. They have two big players who are basically the same, and they have no fucking chance about anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, the politics podcast.
Politics! Now, who did you say you heard from about the Wendy Quarter thing? Sorry, backing up one story.
Joel Cayford.
I think I heard it from Hamish Keith, and I've actually spoken to Hamish about being on the show, and he was quite enthusiastic about it.
Great, let's get him on.
All right. Well, I'd like to have both of them on.
Now, the other person I wanted to speak to, I did direct message him on Twitter today, and he wasn't greatly receptive, but I'd still like to try it. I'd actually like to speak to Minister of Twitter, Tau Henry. And while I think probably we both disagree with a lot of his politics, I think it's really... I respect him for engaging directly with people in the way he does on Twitter. Whether or not, you know, I know that friend of mine, Ben Gracewood, you may have heard of him.
No, I'm not familiar with him.
Doesn't he run some podcast?
No, but he used to be...
I think, isn't he a blogger?
He is, and he used to be on some television show with...
He's a blogger, but he doesn't blog very often, so I don't know what he is now. He basically is nothing.
I think he's basically just some sort of Windows phone marketing guy.
Yeah, he's dead to me.
Yeah, anyway. So he had a little disagreement with Tau Henare on Twitter, and it comes down to what I think Tau's biggest problem on there is he doesn't take... People make genuine challenges to him about things, and he takes them as attacks. Which
well, he's
I have
a bully.
Some problem with.
He's a bully, and he can't stand it when anyone stands up to him at all.
Yeah, and I guess that's a problem. I suppose it's what makes
he's
it unusual
glib
that he's chosen
and sarcastic
to,
and aggressive.
I don't mind the glibness and the sarcasm. It's the aggression that doesn't work, and I guess it makes it unusual that he's chosen to communicate directly on Twitter in the way that he does.
Yeah,
because you know, like I. When the whole copyright thing was being discussed, and a little bit later on when we were talking about it more, I messaged him on Twitter. I said, you know, are you interested in knowing more about this copyright thing? And he just, you know, made some sort of sarcastic remark, and it frustrated me because it's, you know, I see him there as someone I've exchanged tweets with on a number of occasions, and who knows, might agree with sometimes. And you know, I would like to think that he's willing to engage with the people he engages with, but he isn't always. Yeah. I'd love to talk to him about this because...
I have it on, it's not fair to say, good authority. I understand that he is very cynical about his reason for being in Parliament again. He's really just there. He wanted to be there for another term to get the pension. And he doesn't give a shit about policy. He's serving out his time because he wants to be comfortable when he's out of the House. I think he's a bully asshole. I'd love to have him on there, if you can make it happen. Now, where does he live? Auckland?
Te Aritu, I believe.
If we could, it'd be great to do it face-to-face.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we can make that happen.
Who knows?
It's funny that Jake was griping about season two not being what he likes from discourse from the past. We've actually been discussing season three. Season three is going to be much more guesty. More interviews.
Yeah, the problem we have with the one-hour format now is we have enough trouble fitting everything into it as it is. If we get a guest in there, we have no chance.
Yeah, that's right. Or if someone goes all lawyery on my on the first story that I'm trying to do.
Once again, I apologise. I was just trying to clarify a point that I thought was relevant to the story.
Lies.
Shall we relitigate?
No, I think we have reached a point of understanding.
Okay.
Dylan was wrong. Morgan was right.
No, his...
There were, let's just say there were degrees.
Moving on.
It was shades of grey. I mean, he was making a reasonable point. It was just no point in making the point. Mr. Speaker.
Order in the court.
So, speaking of politics and elections, we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, we should do something for that. Oh, it's actually looking... I've got some pretty cool stuff I'd show you, but I can't be bothered.
I think I need you to re-engage with the people that you forwarded me the email for and say that it has stalled a bit on the other side, and say we need a fast connection. We also would quite like someone to provide us with tolls, calls to mobiles, whatever. And we'll talk about it as being, let's call them up on the whatever line.
Sure, we can do something like that, I'm sure. Let's have a we'll have a wee think. I'll chat to you in a forum that is not broadcast and or recorded and delivered directly to people's listening devices.
All right. Is there anything that we haven't done that we should do? We didn't do any
corrections
during the show.
Well, and there were none. And we didn't got everything perfect.
Let's open up the toot bag.
Didn't do that.
Did anyone tweet to you?
And I never.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
Didn't do that either.
Oh no.
We've got a winner.
Didn't play that.
You're cutting out a few minutes of the show now. You can pull that stuff back in.
I'm cutting out.
Done much.
I'm cutting out a bunch. Yeah, I'm cutting out a bunch. It's the first time I've edited the main show since we went to the real time format.
That's right. I broke it.
I think we both broke it by butting heads and neither of us backing down. I think we both broke it.
No, you broke it by butting my head and not backing down.
But it was my story.
Yeah, it happens.
That you rudely interrupted.
Yep.
Before letting me actually finish saying what I was going to say.
Maybe. I don't remember any of this.
Not familiar with any of this. No. I don't believe that really happened. Are there any more stories? Have I got anything on my list that I haven't done?
One on your list that you didn't read. Is it still on your list?
Haters?
No, it wasn't that. It was something else. It was... It's not there anymore. It was the... Oh, it was the...
Hurry up, US... get more done and die?
No, it was a US drone killing a... Killing a 16-year-old American citizen.
It's a tough story. And they claimed to the press that he was 21 to begin with. Never mind that they had just executed an American citizen using a weapon of war and far away from any battle. It is an outrageous story. I wonder if the Americans are really hearing about it in much detail. They executed someone for being the son of a terrorist, and they already executed that terrorist, who was an American citizen, using a drone. This is the worst kind of cowardice.
The thing about it is, and the point was made in the article, right, that they say he's 21. It turns out he's 16.
According to his American birth certificate.
So then the question is, if they don't know how fucking old he is, were they lying to try and cover it up and make it sound more acceptable? Or did they actually not know how old it is? And then how the fuck then can we trust that they knew he was a terrorist? Not that we can trust that anyway,
We absolutely can't trust
what
it.
What the fuck?
We can't trust it. What the fuck? But wouldn't you become a terrorist, probably, if the Americans murdered your family?
I've never been able to find it again, but quite soon after, probably in 2003, once basically the invasion of Iraq happened, there was a Flash video game you could play online. And what you had to do was it was like a top-down view of a little, Iraqi town, I suppose. And the theory was, or it might have been an Afghani town, doesn't really matter. The theory was you dropped a bomb, you saw these terrorists. You knew they were terrorists because they looked different, so that was easy. They wore black robes instead of white or something. And you dropped this bomb to try and kill the terrorists. Yeah. And of course, in the time it took you to spot them and then order in the airstrike, they moved a little bit.
Yeah.
And usually the airstrike killed them, but it also killed seven people around them or 20 people around them. And then all of the families of those people that they killed would run over to where these dead people were, cry a little bit, and then turn into terrorists themselves.
Right.
And the great thing about this game was you just kept trying to blow them up, and they kept getting more and more and more. And it was such a fantastically simple illustration of what the fuck is wrong with the idea of a war of attrition against terrorism.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're not fighting a country, the old-fashioned approach doesn't work, as we saw with Iraq. Invading Iraq, which wasn't involved with the, as we all are entirely too familiar with, not involved at all with the attacks in 9/11. Not a terrorist training ground. Not a front in the war on terror. Now what are they?
But the same people who who sent us to war, well, not us, sent America to war then.
Tried to take us. Tried to take us. Don't forget, the Coalition of the Willing, they tried to shame us.
Yep, but can be trusted now to drop bombs on people from the air because those people are terrorists.
Those ones. No, we were wrong before about that 300,000 people that we just killed. But this guy, the 16-year-old American, trust us, yellow cake. Trust us. Come on, weapons of mass destruction. Come on. We're your buddies.
It's astonishing to read. I remember that time, and I was quite actively interested in it. And it's astonishing. You know, all the things you look back on hindsight, and everyone goes, oh, well, you're looking back on hindsight. You know, sure, we know now that this stuff is like, no,
it's not true. We knew.
There were plenty of people at the time saying, we fucking know this thing now. And they were all proven right.
Yeah. And it's absolutely not hindsight. And we can show them thousands of articles from the media all over the world, just not so much in America.
Yeah.
Blog posts from, you know, the American liberals. The thing about right and left is that just lately, the people on the left have been demonstrated correct in just about everything. The benefit of hindsight has shown them to have been right.
Yeah.
With a lot of those things. It's a pain. It's a pain. And to see it coming. From miles away, to see it in advance, to have the foresight and know that the mistake is being made, know that, you know, we're all going to pay the price in some way, you know, reduced ability to travel to some ways. You know, some of it is just being inconvenienced. But for a lot of people, you know, the way that they're paying the price for this lack of foresight and hindsight and changing course, for fuck's sake, is that they're being killed or their family's being killed.
Yep.
And we could see it happening in advance. We knew it was bullshit. That's why we didn't go in. That's why we weren't involved. We sent, I think, some engineers to Iraq.
Yeah, and they did actually do good things mostly. They weren't really like a cover for something else. They were actually there.
The UN didn't go in. The UN said no.
Well, that's because the UN are pussies.
No, that's because the UN were right. Germany didn't invade. They had to have, I mean, there was already a joke at the time. Look, if Germany doesn't want to go to war, maybe you should rethink the war. They're German. They're German. They like it. They're equipped for this kind of thing.
I had some McDonald's the other day, and I tell you what, the freedom fries were way too salty.
Mm-mm. Delicious. Damn shame, that whole thing. And saying that we're just looking at this with hindsight, with the benefit of hindsight, utterly, it's insulting. Because we had foresight, but we didn't have power.
Yep. Insanity.
Absolute insanity. Anyway, on that bright note, I would like to thank all the people who are left in the chat room. I would like to thank you at home listening to the podcast. And Robin, who has left, Dylan and Mark, thank you so much as well for joining us once again.
That's all right.
Thanks.
It's been charming. Even our little battle, Dylan. It was grim for the show. But I've got to say, I kind of enjoyed it. A little bit of conflict.
Hey, look, I had only your best intention, only your best something in mind. By the way, I found the game I was talking about. I'll send you a link and you can put it in the show notes.
Can you name
it's
it?
Awesome.
Can you name it quickly?
It's called September 12th. It's on newsgaming.com. I will send you the link.
All right, that'll be in the show notes. And September 12th, just Google it if you want to play it, if it still works. Thank you so much.
I'm playing it now.
Fish and chips, fish and chips, fish
Sorry,
and chips.
The show is cancelled. Beep.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
The adjust text size dialogue has a tweak this button.
Yeah, because I want to tweet to people what text size I'm using. I only use 6 pixels.
God damn, that sounds fucking.
Ooh. That's a meaty sound.
Oh, I love it. Now let's see. I wonder what is happening on the old I'd love to be able to hear the difference between what I'm hearing, which is quite nasty a lot of the time, and what you're getting through the compression.
It's still quite nasty.
Right.
But nasty in a good way. Nasty in a moog way.
It's completely insane. God, I love it.